The Cougs come off a weekend split decision with a marquee matchup in a Saturday matinee at Kansas. And we're reviewing and previewing with the coach and freshman guard, Alexei Kostic, next on BYU TV and ESPN+.
BYU Basketball with Kevin Young is presented by Siegfried & Jensen, helping Utah families for over 30 years.
That sounds excellent. Hello once again, Cougar Nation. We welcome you back inside Studio C at the BYU Broadcasting Building in Provo, Utah, for our latest weekly look inside the BYU men's basketball program. We are joined by a live studio audience. They sound so good. Let's hear them again, shall we? Yeah. That live studio audience is very alive, and we are seen and heard on the BYU TV app, ESPN Plus, and BYU Radio. Coming up on tonight's show, and I'm glad you're with us, we'll look back at the Cougs' last two games against Utah and Arizona. Deep Blue features newcomer Dominique Diomande. Freshman Alexei Kostic is our special guest here in Studio C. We'll have some Q&A for the coach and Alexei, and we'll look ahead to Saturday's showdown with nationally ranked Kansas at Allen Fieldhouse. To tip off tonight's show, let's welcome back into Studio C the man with his name in the title of this program, the second-year head coach of your BYU Cougars. He's Kevin Young. This is a potentially rambunctious group tonight.
Yeah,
I get that vibe. Yeah. Wow, we are suddenly two-thirds of the way through the regular season already and almost halfway through the Big 12 campaign. What do you think about where your team is right now?
Yeah, it's crazy how fast it goes, you know. You know, it's a lot of ways to look at it, honestly. Bottom line is, you know, we need to play better so we can beat the elite teams in our league. That's the bottom line. In terms of where we are, you know, you have to keep everything in perspective. It's hard to lose close games. So on one hand, you could say, hey, man, we're two made baskets away from beating the likes of the number one and number two team in the country. And on the other hand, you say, we didn't do enough to earn those victories. And so I think there's a middle ground of just understanding where we are, how close we are, but then understand how much work we have to do to get to really where we want to get to.
In an NBA season, you probably hit phases where it feels like dog days or it's a bit of a grind or you're kind of in the midst of it. But in college, the season's in a lot of ways almost too short to get to that point. Like, they all mean so much, it feels like.
Yeah, I think this year it's felt a little bit more like an NBA season, I think, because we had such a significant sort of, even the preseason, you played to now you play, you know, Nebraska's like, what, top five in the country. Yeah. Carolina's Carolina. And they play a pretty tough non-conference slate, but just to travel, too. I mean, we went to the East Coast and back three times in a non-con, right? So, I mean, that sort of made the season feel a little bit more like a grind. But, you know, I think in the NBA where you feel the dog days, it's like, it's long, it's more games, and a lot of the games, I hate to say it, don't matter as much, right? Now in college, it feels like I've said this before, but it feels like every game's game seven, you know? And so that can be emotionally draining as well. But there is a psychology of navigating a season, you know? Mm-hmm. And for me, I'm a pretty optimistic person. You know, I try to just keep it upbeat and just always trying to improve, which I think is wildly important. Like last year, you know, that was our recipe, and we were able to kind of get hot at the right time. And, you know, with the talent we have, I mean, not every team every year has what it takes to win the whole thing. You know, we, I think, do. And so I think that's motivating for our guys to come in and you know, not squander, you know, an opportunity.
In college, something special when the calendar turns from January to February, and that's where you guys really excelled last year down the stretch.
Yeah, we did, and it was why, right? It's because, you know, the stacking days mindset, the trying to get better every day. And so even for me, you know, 20 years into coaching, you just still are learning constantly. Like, for me, just a reminder of, you know, like, are we, I ask myself this all right all the time, are we on the right path? Mm-hmm. And so sometimes I think it's really easy to get distracted, you know, in life period, but certainly even as a coach, because there's so many things coming at you, so many different things you got to stop with the other team and this and that. But you know, the last couple of days I had to remind myself of, like, what are the pillars that I actually care about? What are the pillars that you know, make a successful basketball team, in my opinion, and making sure we don't stray too far away from that. And in a long season, you know, it's a windy road, but for me, you got to kind of stay to that true north, and that's basically what we've done the last few days.
Is there a general pillar or two that you're comfortable sharing?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, you know, it's really not a complicated game. I think we complicate it a lot. So, you know, defensively, you know, we have our own little terms, but in layman's terms, it's, you know, basically, you know, all five guys are kind of trying to guard the ball together. You're helping your brother if he gets beat. You're there to help, right, and rebound. You know, there's a lot of nuances that go into it, but that's really the bottom line. And then offensively, you know, it's a team game. It's a team game, and you got to move the ball. You got to space. You can't hold the ball. And, you know, that right there can be a challenge, as I've talked about before. When you have a lot of great individual talent, how do you blend what I just said with the individual talent? And that's something that we're trying to remind our guys of, because when that, like the other night, you know, 11 of our 18 were assisted in the second half. We put up 52 points on a top
another
two.
50 point half.
And,
yep.
And you're doing it against the
one second, of the better defenses in the country.
Like elite, right? And so just reminding our guys of what that looks like and trying not to get too far away from it.
Fortunately for you and your guys, you haven't had too many chances to bounce back, but you get one here this Saturday. Your last bounce back chance came after Texas Tech. You had a long week, you know, where you guys kind of had to grind through it. You said the guys got a bit ornery. And this week kind of feels like another longish week. You played Monday. You get to bounce back on Saturday. Any comparisons between, you know, the last 2 weeks of having to get right again?
Yeah, and I think, you know, I think our guys learned from that experience where, like I said, I didn't think we were great in those, you know, we had basically three full practice days. I thought two of them we wasted our time, and a third one we got better. I think this week, you know, today and yesterday, we got better. You know, and I told the guys that today after practice. And so to me, that was a sign of maturity, you know, with a group that, you know, I think learned from what they didn't bring to the table last week. And, you know, hopefully that kind of puts us on a path that we want to be on as far as improvement goes.
I want to drop an NBA note to you real quickly about Yegor Dioman, named an NBA Rising Star, which is a huge honor. By the way, tonight, he's got a game that tips in about 20 minutes. If he makes a three tonight, he will have set the new NBA rookie record for most consecutive games with a three-point field goal at 34. He's got 33 right now, which ties the record. If he makes a three tonight, that's 34, and he becomes a history maker in his first year coming out of BYU.
Yeah, it's incredible. You know, I was actually just texting with the Nets brass last night, just sending them a note of congratulations for Yegor. A lot of pride, you know, for not just me, but the whole university, all of our coaches, and what he's doing. And the cool thing about Yegor is, like, his, you know, sometimes things don't show up where you'd hope they'd show up. You know, he didn't shoot the three for us in games very well. But I was reminded of this when I was doing an interview yesterday for a different outlet. You know, we track everything.
Yeah, you do.
We track every shot that every player takes from woe to go, when they show up to the time they leave. And so, you know, Yegor's just drill work and so forth. I mean, he was up there with Trevin and Dawson, you know, and he didn't shoot it like that in the game. And so, you know, that can kind of do a number on your confidence. So for him to kind of stay with it and put all the work in, and now he's seen the fruits of that labor, man, kudos to him.
Yeah, by the way, he has the second most threes by a player in their first 40 career games in NBA history, which is pretty amazing. Before we get to some, there we see the great honor for Yegor. And we're going to track if we get off the air here and he's hit that three, we'll know about it and we'll have the new record. You're going to have back-to-back NBA first-round draft picks in your first two seasons as BYU's head coach. Is having NBA draft picks every year something that you think is reasonable, sustainable, a goal of yours?
I mean, it's tough, obviously, because you have to be really unique to be a first. I mean, there's only 30 of them, right? And you know, that's not including all the international. So in terms of college players who are chosen to be in the first round, I mean, that's tough, right? Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty, I think we've made it pretty clear, like, what our model is trying to be. You know, I don't think we're going to go out and have a ton of, you know, multiple first-round picks. It would be great if we did, but we try to focus in on trying to bring in, you know, the right one or two guys that blend in well with the rest of the group that we're trying to build. And, you know, the cool thing about what we're doing is just there's a lot of people. Yegor is on record of saying this. We've used it a lot in the recruiting world of just, you know, how many people are involved in our program that really care about helping these guys get better and have done it at very, very high levels. And so that in and of itself, I think, breeds this, what you're talking about. Yeah. And luckily, so far, people have gravitated towards that. And it is a hope of ours that we can continue that. Yeah.
Great pattern established already. Well, BYU played two games since our last show here at Studio C. Let's take a brief look back at both the Utah and Arizona games with some highlights and stats presented by Intermountain Health. We're going to focus in on one player in each game. And last Saturday at the Marriott Center, it was a history-making day as BYU squared off with Utah for the second time in 2 weeks. And the history was made by A.J. DiBonsa. 19 points in the first half, 24 in the second for 43. He was 15 for 24 from the floor, 4 of 5 from deep, 9 of 10 from the stripe, as you see. He breaks Danny Ainge's freshman scoring record, which was 36. He breaks Danny's field goal record in the game, which was 14. And he keeps Coach just climbing the charts in the freshman record book as the season goes on.
Yeah, I mean, that was obviously a special night, you know, for him. And really, I thought, impressive by the rest of the group to help kind of facilitate that. You know, they obviously up there, they were double team and triple team all over the court. So we tried to move him around a little bit more in that game just to make it harder for them to put multiple bodies on him, and he was able to deliver. But, you know, in that game, you know, while it was happening, I was in my head thinking, man, this is a special player. And, you know, his like all players, the challenge is just being able to do it every night, which right. For him, he has a lot more than he hasn't. But, you know, it was on full display, you know, the size and the shot making and his ability to hit me, his footwork. I mean, the whole thing was going that night.
As outstanding as he was, you don't want to gloss over the fact that you swept your rival in the regular season series and got a big win against the team you love to beat.
Yeah, I think that, you know, in BYU folklore, maybe that makes that night even more special mm-hmm. to do it against the guys up north. But, you know, beat Utah twice and in a short period of time.
Twice in 2 weeks.
You know, that's tough. And yeah. So was glad we were able to do that for the whole university.
All right, final stat sheet for BYU and Utah showed the Cougars defeating Utah by a score of 91-78. Another 50% plus shooting night for BYU. And, Coach, that paint number really jumps out, too. A plus 30 advantage in points in the paint against the U.
Yeah, I mean, they really struggled to defend the rim. That was something, a huge point of emphasis for us going into that game. And, you know, I thought our guys did a good job of, you know, taking that challenge on and being able to punish them at the rim.
All right, this is BYU's third season in the Big 12, but the first season in which BYU has been showcased on a Big Monday. And so it was a quick turnaround from the Utah game. Number 13, BYU home to Arizona, the number one team in the country, just 2 days after the Utah game was this past Monday. And at one point in the second half, BYU was down by 19, but the Cougs staging a furious rally. And one of the key players in the comeback was Kennard Davis Jr. He went 5 for 5 from the three-point line after halftime. Really good for him to see a few shots go in because he's going to be a big part of what you want to get done here down the stretch.
Yeah, you know, he's had a tough go shooting the ball, but was able to, you know, stay with it. I thought the guys did a good job of, you know, getting him open looks, and he was able to respond. And I agree, it is a good sign because we, you know, we rely on him a lot defensively, but to be able to space the floor is a huge part of his success.
How much work does a staff do with a player when he's in a slump like that and you know it's in him?
Yeah, quite a bit. You know, it was, you know, also you don't want to overdo it, you know, and get guys in their own heads. But, you know, some of that was health related. Like, he's been sick, he's been banged up. And, you know, that happened in the season. But kudos to the coaches for keeping him ready and keeping him upright and helping keeping that. I mean, that's tough, man, to go, yeah. What was he,
he was in an 0 for 18 stretch before the 5 for 5.
Yeah, so, I mean, that says a lot about his mental toughness.
Well, BYU had a shot to lead in the closing seconds. Great comeback. But the Wildcats hang on for the 86-83 win. That snapped BYU's 13-game home win streak. Final stats there show that Arizona, they're not going to necessarily try and kill you from the three-point line, but they were a very good mid-range and rim team that night. That's kind of how they operate. And transition, at least early in the game, was a big part of what they got done.
Yeah, a lot of that was just bad offense on our part. You know, that's something we tried to clean up over the last couple of days. I mean, it makes you sick to your stomach to even look at that score and just realize that was a squandered opportunity without question. And so it's frustrating, but at the same time, you know, that's life. You got to be able to bounce back through some adversity. And, you know, we had some pretty honest conversations with the players and some really honest film sessions. And, you know, it's something Richie says, and I mentioned it to the players, but, you know, it's when you go through adversity with the group and you learn from it, that's when people come together. That's when groups come together. And, you know, I'm hopeful that, you know, as great as it would have been to win that game, you know, I'm hopeful that that's something that we can really use as a jumping off point.
And again, fortunately, you haven't had a lot of adversity, but when you have experienced it, you have come through it pretty well.
Yeah, we have. And listen, the record's the record. I don't think we've played that great yet. I really don't. Like, we haven't shot the ball that great in Big 12 play. As a group, we've made too many defensive mistakes, and we're still been able to, you know, acquire, you know, stack some wins. So we gotta. I think the best and brightest days are ahead for us, and we gotta continue to remain confident and just when it hits, man, it's gonna be we're gonna be a really dangerous team.
So it sounds like you're excited for what is to come for this team still.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's absolutely. You know, I think people are learning. You know, I think AJ's learning. You know, I think Rob's learning how to play with this group. I think, you know, Beto was unreal in practice the last 2 days.
Yeah.
You know, he's learning. I mean, the young man hadn't played really in 8 months. You know, he's getting in shape. You know, he can be a real X factor for us. You know, our guest tonight,
Alexei.
I mean, so I think that there's a lot of things to be excited about. And, like, I don't even think we're anywhere near our ceiling.
Okay, back to the Arizona game for a quick second for our assist count brought to you by Siegfried and Jensen, assisting Utah families for over 35 years. And against Arizona, BYU recorded 16 helpers on the night. That's our assist count from Monday night. Next up is our Bully on the Boards count presented by Big Bully Turf. Woman founded, Waffles approved, 37 rebounds against Arizona. And you rebounded it well, Coach, especially in the offensive end. I think 16 offensive rebounds on Monday. It led to a 14-6 edge in second chance points.
Yeah, I mean, that's something that I think our group, I know our group can take a ton of confidence from. That's arguably the best rebounding team in all of America. I thought the rebounding edge was what was going to win the game. You have to give Burries and Bradley credit. I mean,
as guards.
Yeah, in terms of like the shots. Look, I mean, you can sit there and cry about it, but they made shots. We want guys that live in the mid-range. They hurt us from the mid-range. They took a lot of the shots that we want to give up. They made them, and that's life. However, in terms of the things that we can really build our confidence on, you know, we talk about rebounding all the time, and so to be able to put together the rebounding performance we did there to keep them off the glass and then allow ourselves to go in there and get offensive rebounds against pretty much the biggest or one of the biggest teams in the country is something we can build on.
That was outstanding. All right, a schedule check now. This will show the rest of the Big 12 regular season. You see one game of the final dozen is in the books. That leads you to Kansas, the number 14 team in the country. This Saturday, we'll talk a bit about that a little later on in the program, and that's how it lays out for the rest of the Big 12 campaign. Time now for our first break, and this reminder that your day-to-day Cougar Sports play-by-play happens on BYU Sports Nation. Join Spencer and Jerem weekdays at noon Eastern on BYU TV and BYU Radio. When we come back, Deep Blue will introduce us to BYU newcomer Dominique Diomande, and Alexei Kostic joins us in studio when BYU Basketball with Kevin Young continues after this. Stay with us.
BYU Basketball with Kevin Young is brought to you by Siegfried and Jensen, helping Utah families for over 35 years. Brady Plus, delivering the right supplies plus support to ensure businesses are more successful. And Deseret Book, home to real-life stories of faith, grit, and hope.
Whoa. Welcome back. This is BYU Basketball with Kevin Young. Tonight's Deep Blue is presented, as always, by Deseret Book, home to real-life stories of faith, grit, and hope. Dive deeper today at DeseretBook.com. Growing up as a child surrounded by drugs, violence, and homelessness, Dominique Diomande has overcome the streets of Paris, eventually to play on the court in Provo. Faith in God and the love and kindness of others helped pave the way to where he is today. This now is Deep Blue with Dominique Diomande.
I'm from Paris, born and raised. I remember, I think I was four, my mom bought me a small mini hoop for my bedroom and the DVD, that was the movie Space Jam. And I just fell in love about like Michael Jordan and this beautiful sport was basketball.
I hosted a camp in Paris because I always did basketball training. He was interested, you know, to come to one of my camps. He came and I saw intensity. Very intense, but the heart was bigger than everything.
You can see self-determination, a will to be successful and to just grind through.
I don't know if he would ever say it, but to me, that's what motivates him. Like, he's been to the bottom, and I don't think he wants to go back to the bottom, you know? And it's very clear and obvious when you watch him play that he's a guy you do not have to wind up. Like, he wakes up ready to go.
My grandma passed away, and since like that period of time, that started like to be a mess, like in my childhood, in my house. My mom, she started taking drugs, being depression.
He told me that when he was younger, going home was like hell.
That was just tacking every day after every day. When you're young, you just see like your mom taking drugs, alcohol, medication, and beating your dad. So seeing him getting beat and doing nothing, that was really hard for me. The anger was just like here.
Dominique's father got hurt. He fell, and because of that, you know, cops came and domestic violence got involved, and Dom's father couldn't stay with his mother anymore, so he had to go away. Unfortunately, he didn't have the funds, you know, to get an apartment right away. He had to stay in his car, and Dom decided to stay with him.
You don't know what you're gonna eat the next day. You have school. You know when you're going back to school, all your friends gonna ask you, yeah, why you miss school? It's tough, really tough. There is so much thing going through in your head, the relationship with your mom, if your dad's going okay because he's taking care of you, but you think about his mental health and his physical health. So that was really a hard moment.
For a couple months, they stayed in the car. And I remember one time he came to Paris and he didn't have any food for like 2 days.
I started staying with Sebastian. My dad texted him. He said, yeah, can you take care of my son for a couple of weeks? Started to be weeks and after some months.
Sidi was a very honest, loyal person. So he and I, we used to go, you know, have lunch or dinner and talk, you know, about life and Dom and yeah. He was like an uncle to me. So it's just normal that I do the same for his son.
I find out about the situation of my dad's health. One day he picked me up like from practice or school and just told me about his cancer. I just like started asking God, why him? You've been through all of this and you're giving like another thing.
He fought for 2 years and then he had a relapse.
I remember we had like a practice in the morning and one of my coaches come to see me, call me in his office and he say, your dad's gonna pass away during the night, so we have to drive you to the hospital to see him the last time. We were so close and I was feeling something was bad, so I just say, yeah, I know it.
Dom was really loved by his dad. He was really proud of him before he passed away. He talked to Dom and he said, you know, whatever happens, you know, you gotta stay with Sebastian. He's the one who was gonna help you. And he said this to me many times.
I had known some things about him before, that he was just you know, a player and needed some guidance. But when Seb said, you know, he's with us now, I understood. And we've never looked back, and I couldn't be happier. He's just a part of the family.
It feels great to have a family, because like I think I miss a lot of moments with my real blood family when I was younger. And right now, sometimes when I'm with Seb, his kids, his wife, I just feel like a 10 or 12 years old.
You know, I tell him all the time, you know, you're like my son, my nephew. You became my friend now, you know. So yeah, we have a really close relationship, but it's love at the end.
His story, 99 times out of 100, would have gone this way, and it didn't. He didn't allow it. I think that all of the pain and the hurt, he's used it in such a positive way. In the name of Dad, I'm gonna make it. And there's no looking back. I have no doubt in my mind that this kid will go as far as there is to go. He knows the path he has to be on. He has the right guy to keep him on that path. And nothing will stop him.
All I've been through, I'm never alone. God is with me. My relationship with my mom's today is way better, like way, way, way better. I was able to forgive her, first of all, because of God. And growing up, I started like to see all the stress and the hardships she been through too. When I think about my dad today, I'm just happy. Everything about me is because of my dad. So yeah, I just want like people to remember him. Everything we've been through together, the in the good way, in the bad way, but like, yeah, I'm just trying, just like I say, keep his memory alive with me every day.
We all cheer for these guys when they put on a BYU uniform and play, but these stories allow us to cheer for them in a more personal and meaningful way. What an interesting story and inspiring story from Dom.
Yeah, I mean, he's an incredible young man. You know, he's obviously been through a lot. And, you know, he that's the type of young man that fits in great here. You know, just the humility, you know, his faith, and just the toughness to go through that at a young age. And, you know, obviously he's got some great people around him. But, you know, another thing, he's just a great teammate. You know, you watch his interactions with his teammates, and everybody loves him. His energy is always there, and you know, he's just been a big part of our group.
Yeah, we're looking forward to what's to come for him, for sure. Tonight's special guest has worn his national team crest and played at the highest level in Europe. Now he plays for BYU at the highest level of American college basketball, and he's coming off one of his best performances as a Cougar. Please welcome into Studio C from Austria, Alexei Kostic. Right. Thanks for being here, by the way.
Thanks.
I introduced you as being from Austria. Pfaffstätten?
Yes, that's a good pronunciation, actually.
Thank you very much. What was, because I've done a little bit of research to know what your town looks like and where it's located. It's about 20 to 30 minutes south of Vienna.
Yeah.
It looks like a beautiful city.
Yeah, it's really small, though. It has like 3,000 people, maybe. Yeah, it's really beautiful, though, like vineyards, yeah.
You had a small town life there. You could have a big city life if you just went to Vienna. So you're pretty close to that. So you kind of had the best of both worlds.
Yeah, kind of. But I kind of stayed more like on the countryside. I didn't really go much into Vienna. Yeah, but.
What did you like to do in your hometown?
I mean, playing basketball, obviously, like as much as I can, and like just hanging around with friends.
When did basketball become the main sport for you?
I mean, my dad's a basketball coach, so I've kind of been around it ever since I was like basically born. But I really started playing in like a club at like 7, 8 years old. Yeah.
Club basketball life in Europe is a huge thing, isn't it, Coach?
It is, yeah. I mean, you know, it's an interesting, you know, model compared to, you know, what we have. But
yeah,
obviously for him being able to, you know, be around his dad who was coaching, and then being able to get into it at such a young age to do such a good job of development, you know, kind of helped set his path.
Your dad was a player too?
Yeah.
How far did he go in the game?
So he played in, back then it was Yugoslavia, and he played pro for like 3-4 years. Okay. And then he got injured. He also got in a car accident, and then he kind of like tried to get back, but wasn't really at the same level, and then he started coaching.
And how long did he coach you? Till what age?
He's still coaching. Yeah, so.
How long did he coach you?
He coached me. He actually didn't want to coach me like all the time because he told me like I have to get like used to getting coached by like other coaches. But I think he stopped coaching me as a head coach at like 14, 15.
Yeah. Okay. Soccer? Did you play any soccer growing up?
No, not in a club. I mean, of course, like after school,
just messing
with friends
around
and stuff, messing around. Yeah, but.
And since you're in Austria with such great alpine tradition, people always think you might want to ski, but you are not a big skier apparently.
No, not at all. Like I went 2 times with the school, like as a school activity, but never like in private. I mean, it's not really like a good hobby to have as an athlete.
There's a lot of risk involved. Yeah, that's a good point. And I guess you'd rather he not be necessarily skiing up at all the places he could here in Utah. I don't know.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, people ask me like, oh, same with Utah. Do you ski? No. When do you? You don't have time during the season anyway. So.
You went through the club system. When did you either grow enough or realize that this could be something you could do long term in your life?
I mean, I didn't really think about it. I just played because I love playing and tried to get better every day. But probably when I started like playing with the pro squad, that's like when I actually was like, okay, I'm really gonna try to do this like for my life. Yeah.
Well, you were selected to play for your country, Austria, in 2022 for the FIBA U18 Euro Division B, in 2023 for the same competition, also in 23 for the Eurobasket 2025 pre-qualifiers, and then in 2025 for the World Cup 2027 European pre-qualifiers. This is big time stuff. You're playing for your senior national team. Yeah. I think you've had 9 games maybe with the national team overall. What an incredible honor for you.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's always nice to play for your country. And also like be in that like high level environment with like professional basketball players, like older players that have a lot of experience.
I see the big number 12 back there. That's Jakob Poeltl.
Yes.
We know about him because he played for Utah.
Yeah, I know.
He played
for
Utah, and of course he's been in the NBA. Yeah. So you're playing with Jakob Poeltl.
Yeah. Yeah, that was amazing. He actually joked around a little bit because I decided to go to BYU, and he's like a Utah youth.
Well, alumni. You can say 2-0. You can
say 2-0. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
But coach, I mean, what a big time deal to have a guy on your team that's been a senior national team player in Europe.
Yeah, it's huge. I mean, I don't know if people in the States realize how big of a deal that is and how high level of a competition that is. And even at the underage level, the stuff he was able to do, that's actually really what caught my eye when we started. When I learned about who he was and was watching his film of, I think it was either that 2022 or 2023 competition you mentioned where he was put up insane numbers in that and looked very comfortable operating with and without the ball. But and it's just what a great experience too. Like those big games, like last night, he's played in big games.
Yeah.
So I have no hesitation of throwing him in any moment because he's already done it at the international level.
It is so cool to see you with Austria on your chest. It's even cooler to see you with BYU basketball on your chest. How did you get connected to BYU?
So my agent kind of got to know Tim Fanning, and then it kind of came from there. So Tim was like the first contact, yeah. He knows a lot of people, yeah.
And then you had to learn about BYU.
Yeah.
How do you like it so far?
I love it. Like, I could not be like more satisfied with the situation I'm in. It's like just the staff all around me, like, and the resources is like perfect to get like better.
How do you describe your season so far?
I mean, from an individual standpoint, like I came here like not like knowing I will like have to fight for my minutes and stuff. So I've like tried to get better every day, proved like everybody that I can play like right now. And I've been really like happy to get some opportunities also like in last game, like which is a huge game, and like having the opportunity to prove what I can do. And from a team standpoint, I think we played pretty good, but I think we're far away from like what we can be. And I think like if we keep improving, we can for sure be like one of the best teams in the country, yeah.
That's a great perspective, and I think you would echo that perspective, Coach. What do you like from what you've seen from Alexei so far, and what do you think lies ahead?
You know, I mean, he personifies a lot of things we talked about prior to him getting out here, which he kind of just shared as well. I mean, the work that he puts in, I mean, I'd say he's one of our hardest workers and has been from the day he got here. As you mentioned, our staff, we have a lot of guys that are helping these guys. I mean, Charles Aboyo, and him are tied at the hip. You know, Charles does great work with him, and he's bought into it, you know, and that's a great resource. I mean, Charles, I think his experience playing in Europe, there were some commonalities there, and Charles is such a worker. It's been cool to see them working together, but then also keeping him ready. So, like I said, when you call his number, he's ready to play.
Hey, Alexei, did you grow up learning English in school? You speak great English. When did you start speaking English regularly?
Yeah, I mean, of course, in school, but I think the thing that helped me the most is like playing on the pro team at an early age where like the language is like English. So I spoke English basically more than I spoke German at that point. Yeah, so I think that's the main thing why like my English is at that level where it is.
And what about, because your parents are from Serbia, so yeah. Serbian.
Yeah, I got Serbian, yeah. German, and English, and a little bit of Spanish, just a little bit.
These guys are impressive. That's
poco.
Impressive.
Un poco. Poco yeah. Spanish. All right, coming up next, some fun and games with Coach Young and Alexei Kostic when BYU basketball with Kevin Young continues. Stick around. Basketball with Kevin Young, presented by Siegfried and Jensen, helping Utah families for over 35 years. All right, time for our mini game show of the program. Tonight's game we are calling Peaches, Peaks, and Pronunciation. Allow me to explain. Peaches references Georgia, Peaks references Austria, and Pronunciation, well, that's where I come in to explain. Here's how it works. You're each going to try to pronounce different names of towns and cities from each person's homeland. Mm. So, Coach, we're going to give you some places from Austria. And, Alexei, you're going to be pronouncing names from Coach Young's home state of Georgia. So we're going to show you a name, and then your job is to simply pronounce it correctly. Sounds pretty simple, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. Coach, we'll have you go first. And this will be an Austrian city.
Started out easy.
I think so.
Vienna.
That's what we would say, right? Mm-hmm. But if you're over there, you'd do it a little differently, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
What would you say?
Wien.
Go
for
figure.
A question. I got you.
Okay. For us, we are right. Yeah. But for him, and there, W-I-E-N, that's how you
exactly,
spell it there, right?
Yeah.
We say Vienna, and they go Wien. There you go.
Okay.
All right. We're not going to cross you up anymore, Coach. all right. First one for Alexei.
Athens.
That's what I'd say. Man. And we'd say?
We would say Athens.
We would say Athens, just like Greece. There we go. It almost seems unfair that he got that one to start. But
I don't like where this is going.
All right, next one for Coach. This is your hometown.
That's a tough one.
You said I did okay with it, right?
You were.
Pfaffstätten?
We'll give him a pass on that. Would you say it?
Pfaffstätten.
Pfaffstätten.
Yeah.
I'm proud of myself.
Pfaffstätten. I think he did very well, quite frankly. All right. Next up for Alexei. And they just keep getting easier, I think, at this point for him.
Atlanta.
Yeah, come on.
Give him the trophy.
That is an easy one, yeah.
Okay. I'd like to promise they're going to get tougher. All right. Next one for Coach. We're back to Austria for this one.
I mean, based on the first one, this is the trick. I don't know. Linz.
Pretty good, yeah.
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 What would you say?
Linz.
Linz.
Yeah.
He was very close. I think he's on
it.
That
was good, yeah.
All right. Maybe a little increase in the level of difficulty here for Alexei. Mm-hmm. This is a Georgia town called?
Milan.
What did you say?
Milan.
Now, if you were in Europe, you might say Milan with Italy, but there we say?
I got to be honest. I've been to every small town in Georgia, so I'm even going to Milan here. I don't know.
It's Milan.
Okay.
You pronounce it Milan, like the one in Indiana that I think Hoosiers comes from. So Milan, there we go. We're all learning together, people. All right. This next one is for Alexei. No, it's for you, Coach.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, this is Austrian.
Innsbruck.
Also not that bad. Yeah, pretty good. Innsbruck.
Not. I was close.
Very
was
close.
Close.
I would say close.
Close.
I would say close
yeah,
enough.
It was close,
very close
yeah.
enough. They had the Winter Olympics there back in the day in Innsbruck.
I didn't know. Actually.
They did. There you go. That's why I'm here. All right. next, we go to a city in Georgia.
Ooh. Armaki.
Do you want to take a run at this one, Coach? Because I had to research this one myself.
Yeah.
This is Armurchi.
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 I mean, you're getting down like down in like the swamp.
Oh, yeah, we're going down to the creeks here, yeah. I think is what we're doing, because that's not a big city at all.
That's like swampland.
Exactly.
There.
No one knows that one. That's our Murchie somehow. Next one for Coach. We're back to Austria for this one.
Let's see here. Neunkirchen.
Alexei?
Neunkirchen.
Oh, yeah, we're really close on that one. One more time.
Neunkirchen.
Neunkirchen.
Yeah, definitely. It's like the CH is like...
like another K.
It's like, no, it's no. Like Neunkirchen.
Neunkirchen.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Neunkirchen.
All right.
There you go. Perfect. All right. Back to Georgia for this one. Do you know this one?
I do know.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'd say Dacula.
Dacula.
Dacula. He got it. Exactly. Oh, yeah. Dacula in
Georgia. We can get tricky too.
Yeah, we can. I did not know.
We were due for one. Yeah. All right. We're back to Coach.
So the W is more like a V, right? Maybe?
Yeah.
Wiener Neustadt.
First part was good. Yeah. Second, we can work on that.
What's it?
Wiener Neustadt.
Neustadt.
Wiener Neustadt.
I mean, I was close.
I think close enough again. We are back to Georgia. After Dacula, we have...
Oh, wow.
Do you know this one, Coach?
Yeah, I do know this
one. I love it.
Beautiful area, too. I've tried every one. I need an attempt here. I need an attempt.
Even if you airball it, we need an attempt. Yeah.
Dahlonega.
Right on.
That's actually pretty good. Yeah, Dahlonega.
Okay. He knows four languages. Yeah. So, I mean, come on.
Is he multilingual?
Yeah.
All right, we're back to Austria for this one.
Kufstein.
Perfect.
They're perfect. Yeah. We get a perfect.
That's actually perfect. I don't even have to repeat it.
All right, back to you, Alexei.
Do
you know this one, Coach?
I do.
Good.
Senoia.
Yeah.
Okay. Senoia, good job. Well done.
My college roommate was actually from that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Which school? Which college?
Both, actually.
Oh, you went to both Clayton State and?
Junior college and Clayton State, too.
All right. Next up, we are going back to Austria for this one.
That could be
so if a W is a V, what's a V becomes the question. I don't know.
I'm just going to go really American on this one. Village.
It's Villach.
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 Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Villach, of course. And now we're back to Georgia. This one, I know Coach knows this one.
Yeah.
Marietta.
Nice. That's
nailed it.
That's my hometown right there.
Yeah.
Great job. Great job.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Good luck with this one, Coach.
Ooh.
The two dots.
Yeah, the two dots are throwing me off. I don't know. Let's go here. I'm going to try. So I'm going to get wild here. I'm going to say Saint. Let's go Saint Putin.
Sankt Pölten.
Okay.
Sankt Pölten.
Say it again.
Sankt Pölten.
Sankt Pölten.
Pölten.
Like Jakob Pertl. Same kind of vibe there with the Pölten.
Okay, yeah,
a little
bit.
Basically, yeah.
Okay, gotcha. Okay. All right, we have two more Georgia towns if we have time. So back to Alexei for this one. You know this one, Coach?
I don't know this one.
This one I had to dig in as well.
It sounds pretty country, I'll say that, though.
Walthourville?
Waltowerville.
Waltowerville.
But see, in the South, you say bull. You don't say
Bull.
Like Louisville, Greenville. Yeah. Waltowerville.
Waltowerville.
We go back to Austria. We have one last one for Coach here.
Klagenfurt.
Pretty good, yeah.
Yeah, you go with that one?
Yeah.
Wait, what would you say?
Klagenfurt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he nailed it.
Yeah.
It was good, yeah.
Okay, and then we have our last one in Georgia. Does Coach know this one? Because I did not.
I don't know this one.
This is a wild one for me, too. What would you say?
Hetura?
Hey Hira.
Hey Hira.
I actually have heard of that. I didn't know that's how you
spelled it. Yeah, Hey Hira. That's how it is. Hey Hira, Georgia. Well done, guys. Way to go.
Thank you.
Went through. And again, every week on the show, it's all about all of us learning together. All right. After this break, we'll hear from our studio audience in this week's Q&A segment. That is coming up next. Stay with us. More BYU basketball with Kevin Young coming up.
BYU Basketball with Kevin Young is brought to you by Siegfried & Jensen, helping Utah families for over 35 years. Intermountain Health, official medical provider for BYU Athletics. And Ken Garth, we hear you.
Alexei Kostic is our guest tonight. Time now for some audience Q&A for the coach and Alexei. It's presented by Ken Garf, where we hear from you, the fans. We've got fans lined up here on our studio floor with the mic, and the floor is yours.
Okay, this question's for Coach. What is your process for creating plays?
So when I was in the NBA, you watch so many games. So usually when you're the scout coach for that team, you're watching five games prior to that game. So I have a catalog of thousands of NBA plays that I liked, and I just kind of, I'll refresh my memory with that oftentimes if I ever get kind of in a lull. But that's kind of where I start, I would say.
Great. Next question.
Coach, this is for the coach. Cougar Club member for 44 years.
Mm. Wow, so, that's amazing. Congrats.
Well done, yes.
I'm sure in the NBA, you're on first name basis with all the officials. You know, you knew them, you talked to them. What is the difference of the NBA officiating? Compare it to the Big 12 officials.
Are you trying to get me fined here?
No. I just noticed, you know, some of the coaches, I won't name them, but some of the coaches, man, they are up and down yelling, talking to the officials during every timeout. Yeah. And we really appreciate your coolness.
No, I appreciate
that. What does it take for you to actually interact? What triggers you to interact with a Big 12 official?
Well, going back to your original question, so like I came up in the minor league. So a lot of the refs you see in the NBA now, I knew when they were 10 years younger. We all kind of came up together. So we were like almost friends in a lot of ways. You're on a first name basis. Here, I've had to get to know them. I had no relationship. But look, man, at the end of the day, they're human. I'm human. I don't think that there's a lot that goes on when you're trying to scream and yell at somebody. So I just try to, you know, ask what they saw and like what I saw and just have like more of a human element behind it.
Great. Thanks for the question. Next up.
Okay. So this is for Coach. And how was it being assistant NBA assistant coach?
I'm a Jordan guy, so I love the jersey, first of all. So probably one of my biggest regrets as an NBA coach was obviously Jordan was long gone, but like I got in the year after Kobe. So that, and I'm a huge Kobe guy, so that was unfortunate. I would have loved that, and that made me think of it with the jersey. But it was unbelievable, man. When you're around that level of talent and the best players of the world in the world, it's pretty unbelievable just to sit there and have a front row seat because I'm a fan of the game at the end of the day. So it was just awesome to see the best players in the world up close every night.
Who was your favorite NBA player growing up?
Growing up, probably Dražen Petrović.
Petrović, yeah. Do you have a play that's called Petrović?
Peja.
Stojakovic. Peja. Yeah, that's what it is. Yep. Yeah, yep. Yeah. Another great one. Last question.
What's your favorite defensive player ever?
Ever. Oof. I'm biased because I coached him, but Mikal Bridges, who plays for the New York Knicks, I was fortunate enough to coach him when I was with the Suns, and unbelievable human being, just a great guy, great teammate, and one of the best defenders that I've personally ever coached.
And an Iron Man.
Yeah, he's never missed a game in the NBA. Incredible. Yeah,
it is incredible. Yeah. All right, great questions, folks. Thank you. As we go to break, here's tonight's And One trivia question presented by Brady Plus, providing Jansan food service and packaging supplies, plus support. Brady Plus ensures businesses are more successful every day. All right, who was BYU's first ever international men's basketball player? The answer is coming up next. Stay with us. All right, back on BYU Basketball with Kevin Young. Tonight's trivia question is that, and the answer here is a man named Timo Lampinen from Finland in the 1960-61 season. As a matter of fact, we believe he's the first international player, overseas player in all of Division I college basketball, and it happened at BYU.
Wow.
All right, next up for BYU, it's Kansas this Saturday at Allen Fieldhouse. You see at the bottom there, kind of a milestone day at the Fog. It'll be the 1,000th men's basketball game in the history of that great building. You see Darren Peterson there. AJ DeBonsa leads the country in scoring. Darren Peterson not too far behind him. That's our matchup on Saturday. The broadcast schedule for Saturday looks like this. It'll be a 3:30 Eastern time start on the radio and BYU TV. The game tips at 4:30 Eastern, 2:30 Mountain, 3:30 there in Lawrence, and then post-game coverage on radio and TV afterward. Folks in the studio audience, thank you for being here. Alexei, great to have you. Coach, good luck this weekend.
Thank you.